Hello and welcome to the Profitable Practice Podcast with me, Andrea Maxim, naturopathic doctor turned healthpreneur. And every week I'm bringing you no nonsense, no BS, actionable strategies to create a practice that is not only profitable, but fully sustainable by you. If you're an action taker like me and want to create a practice that is profitable, then you've come to the right place. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Practice Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Maxim, and this show is something that was kind of a long time coming. I had this guest on previously, and literally as soon as the episode was over, I said, you know what, everything that you said made absolute sense. How can I start working with you and start making some changes into the way my clinic is looking? So if you have listened to this episode, it was my first episode with Cheryl Janis, which you're definitely want to go. You're definitely going to want to go back and listen to that one. And so we had this call. It was all done virtually. I literally carried my laptop around the office, and she helped me completely redesign it. And of course, we're going to go into more detail as we get into the interview again. But I cannot tell you the difference in the way it made me feel about coming to work, the way that patients were. Everyone has just been so calm, so happy. There's, you know, we've had a ton of new people coming in, whether that's because of the ambiance that people are experiencing. Because just by changing the paint color, and so far as we have in our clinic, beautiful, beautiful cedar plank ceilings. It's an old library. And on it are some beams that go across the ceiling. And one of the most standout pieces that Janice said was paint the beams the same color as the wall, because it helps to ground everything. And what a difference even that makes. Like, it makes the room bigger. We bought some new furniture for the waiting room. And in the blog post, I'll put some before and afters, or in the show notes, I'll put some before and after pictures there so you can see the transformation. But it was just massive. It was massive to everything, especially me as a person that was essentially living there. I, for a year or two, was just ready to pack up everything and say, you know what, screw it. I'm done with this place. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to work here anymore. I wanted to leave as quickly as I possibly could. I was thinking about an exit strategy, just having somebody else come in and buy the practice from me. I was just really, really unhappy there because it was so outdated. The colors were really old. We had the regular old cheap metal framed chairs with the leather seats that weren't comfortable or cushioned or anything like that. And it just really, really needed an update. And I didn't even realize it until I was doing the interview with Janice how much of an update it needed. And I love how Janice just lays everything out. It is not like you have to spend $10,000, $20,000 to upgrade everything and bust down walls and all this other stuff. It was literally about changing the shapes of the furniture, changing the color of the wall, adding some pictures that work with what you want to accomplish. And so on and so forth. So I am just so thrilled that Cheryl Janis is back on the show. And we will jump into that interview shortly. Before we get into the interview, I just want to highlight the sponsor of today's podcast, which is my 7-day detox program. It is a completely done-for-you program, everything that you need to set it up and implement it in your business in less than 24 hours, including the sales copy, the emails that go out to your patients, the different ways you can use supplements and such to make the program fit in for your business. You can use it just as it is, plug and play, or you can absolutely rebrand it and manipulate it however you want to suit your personality, your treatment style, and of course, your business. So check that out at www.maximizedbusiness.ca/7-day-detox-program. All right, guys, so let's jump into the interview with Cheryl.
Ready.
Hey, Cheryl, thank you again so much for coming back to the Profitable Practice Podcast. How's it going?
It's going really well, Andrea. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm super psyched to be here. Now,
again,
exactly. So I was just going to say, for those who didn't get to hear our first amazing podcast show about how to design your space and some really, really amazing tips for picking colors and where to place pictures and desk and furniture, that is podcast number 55. And as I said today, I'm pretty sure this is podcast number 80. If you can believe it.
That's so awesome.
So for those that don't know who you are, Cheryl, would you mind just introducing yourself again to the audience?
Of course. So my name is Cheryl Giannis, and I am talking to you from the San Francisco Bay Area in California. I design custom waiting rooms and offices for healthcare professionals of all sizes, shapes, and genders who want to double and oftentimes triple their referral business. So that's what I do, and my website is Cheryl Giannis Designs, which Andrea will share with you, and I'm just excited to talk to you about this subject.
Yeah.
Design.
I know, and so I got to tell you guys, after we had our podcast show, it resonated with me so much. I was sitting in my Caledonia space, and I was looking around while we were talking about, you know, paint swatches and locations of things. And at that stage in my business, I was pretty much ready to bounce. Like, I was looking for reasons to just quit, to pack up, to have somebody else come into my office. I was not resonating with that space at all. It was like 7 years outdated. We were still using like the really old fashioned, you know, basic wireframe chairs in the waiting room. And it just felt so unenergetic and unappealing to me. And I didn't realize how much of a boost I needed in my space until after you and I had our one-on-one session. And guys, Cheryl was amazing. Like, we bought all of the furniture, all of the paint on those two calls. Like, it wasn't like afterwards I had to spend hours and hours doing something else. We did everything in that two-hour time frame. And I just walked around with my computer and my webcam and showed you my space. And the difference in the transformation of how I feel working in that space and people every time they come in, I did this almost a year ago, and people are still saying, wow, the clinic looks so great. I love these chairs. I love the pictures. People are still commenting on it. And I get excited to walk into the waiting room and the treatment room now. So I cannot express enough what a transformation that was for me as the clinic owner and what that was for my business. I wouldn't be able to tell you if we had, you know, two or three times the patient revenues increase, but I can tell you that we've had a beautiful and steady flow of patients coming into the office with next to no effort, and people are fine waiting a little bit longer in those nice comfy chairs if I'm running behind. Like, there's just no animosity, there's no tension. It feels just amazing. So I can only like sing your praises enough, and that's why I had to get you back on the show today. So thank you, Cheryl, and I'm really looking forward to hearing kind of the new things that have evolved since our last interaction with regards to creating spaces and what people are doing now to engage patients.
Well, first of all, I just want to say congratulations. And it's always music to my ears. It's hearing about all these positive changes. And, you know, I've been doing this work for about 15 years, and I just never tire of hearing all of these positive things that happen. So for those of you who don't know, I come from a background of a child who got in a lot of car accidents and spent a lot of years in waiting rooms and treatment rooms and exam rooms and dental offices. And so seeing this and knowing that, you know, not only are you totally successful and able to do what you love, but your patients as well are just really feeling the benefits of all this is fantastic. So I'm a total geek about this stuff. I love, you know, finding ways to not only increase your profitability, and also I love to find ways that the brain can feel better through art and through colors and through design. So the new thing is the newest thing, and it's sort of like finally trending, it's been coming up slowly, is that waiting rooms and healthcare offices are now sort of taking their cues from hospitality, so hotels and all those kinds of things. What does that mean exactly? That means that you want to design your your waiting room more like a living room vibe, mm-hmm. you know, like you did, Andrea. Like, you want to bring in things that make people feel like they're at home, because there's this little thing in the brain that when it recognizes something familiar, like familiarity of being at home, when you walk into a space and you can sit in a comfy chair and there's a side table with a cute lamp on it, you're like, you instantly, the brain instantly mm-hmm. relaxes. And, yes. and that's important. That's important when someone's in pain, either mentally, emotionally, or physically, as you, all of you listeners know. So there's this lovely, lovely trend that's happening. And so when you're thinking about redesigning your waiting rooms, particularly, you want to create a very living room like vibe. So, and one of the things I find that's a challenge for people is the budget. Mm-hmm. And so I like to integrate things. I like to integrate. The newest thing is I found beautiful lines of furniture that are specific to healthcare waiting rooms. And they have warranties on them for like 20 years.
Right.
And they hold up. And so I like to, recommend that, those types of pieces to my clients, so that there's a longevity piece and they can feel comfortable, no investment in that. And then adding some of the more side tables and other pieces from maybe online stores like Crate and Barrel, mm-hmm. for example, and creating kind of integration. So you're creating a living room vibe and you're also integrating this sort of more expensive investment, but it's a better investment in pieces that are going to last you 20 plus years, plus have a 10-year warranty on them, so you can feel comfortable in that investment.
Yes.
And then integrate the fun stuff, you know, which you can like replace out every so often when your space gets tired or you want to give it an update. So that's new. Colors, I just am finishing. It's not out yet. I wrote two books, as you know, Andrea, but if you don't know at home, I've written a couple books on for healthcare professionals. One is called The Color Cure and one is called The Waiting Room Cure. Mm-hmm. So one is about how to find the best colors based on my 15 years of experience. It is the best colors, and I kind of walk you through that process and give you all the colors and all that for creating a nurturing, peaceful, friendly, and also uplifting and positive experience through a little thing called paint.
Yes.
Which is instant gratification, which is one of the reasons I love it so much. So in this new book, one of the lines of paint that I've been using for a long time, I think like maybe 10 years, Divine Color Paints, which some of you in the United States may have heard of. I don't think it's in Canada.
We had to use Benjamin Moore. Next line. Yeah.
That was the next line. So Divine Paint Colors, and we go way back. They were bought out and then they just were recently discontinued for a few colors at Target, but they were... So I decided to update the Color Cure, call it the Color Cure 2.0. Uh-huh. And I went back into my color studio and with you guys in mind, and I chose all new colors from mostly Benjamin Moore, because they're pretty, they're my favorite line of paint colors, and they have, you know, eco-friendly paints, low VOCs, which are that stinky stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Toxic. And so there's new blues that I've been working with, and greens. And green is kind of a tricky color because it can be a little, if it's a little too yellow, it can yellow, kind of green yellow, it can make you feel nauseous. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of like black and green and some yellow. Black and yellow kind of have this like pukey kind of color.
Yeah.
So, but I found some beautiful soothing greens. And believe it or not, I'm really excited about grays right now. When you mix them with the rainbow of colors. So it's really exciting. These are colors that you look at and you can feel in your body and they feel delicious. It's the kind of thing where you have that instant body recognition. Mm-hmm. And the intention behind it is kind of take away the overwhelm that healthcare professionals feel, because it's ridiculous how many paint colors are out there. Like,
yeah.
Seriously. Right?
Yeah.
And if you don't know, you're just kind of like investment. You invest in the time. You maybe hire somebody or do it yourself or have like a paint party. It still takes time and it still takes effort. And it sucks when it's a mistake.
Yes.
So that's what's up. That's what's up right now.
Now, I really want to, I have a question from our audience that we're going to get to, and that's going to be more in the treatment room space. But I would love to hear again what you're finding to be really successful in the waiting room space. And to put into perspective what happened with our space, like with you and me working together, is I couldn't believe the shapes that I was having. So everything was square. And I also had in direct vision of the doors, I had my big filing cabinet, like right there, front and center. And you made some really amazing adjustments in that, which completely opened up the room. And so I'd love for you to talk about, so when everybody's listening to this, I want you to actually be in your space. And even if you don't own the space, these would be great things for the clinic owner to also be mindful of, is let's review the whole idea of shapes and what that first focal piece should be when somebody walks into your clinic.
Right. Those are great points. I'm excited to talk about them. So first impressions are huge. So there's a little thing in psychology, a little science tidbit here that says that we humans make up our mind about people and about spaces and how we feel. We make up judgments within the first 15 seconds of walking into a room. So that's your waiting room. So whatever you or your patient or even somebody, maybe you're hiring a new staff member, sees every day or the first time, especially is really important for first time guests. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a file cabinet across from your door, it's, you know, what is A and what kind of an impression does that create? Well, not a good one. That's really basic. And so what's fun about being on your show right now is we get to talk about these really basic things, and there's a lot of value here for you.
Yes.
So take a look around you, you know, if you're in your office right now or the next time you're there, and see what it is that you see when you first walk into the front door. So this is the front door, not the back door. Mm-hmm. That's a different thing. So see if it's uplifting and positive. Is it a beautiful color? Is it a table? If it's across from a wall, is it a beautiful table maybe with some beautiful artwork over it and maybe a plant on it? All very therapeutic elements that create really positive first impressions. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really important area to look. So for you, Andrea, you had not a very good impression and then all, right?
Not at all. Everything, like as soon as you walked in, I had 8 square rectangular plaques on the wall. That was the first thing people saw, and a coat hanger, which we then evolved into a beautiful purple floral flower piece with a gorgeous like fern plant underneath in a round pot on a round table. That's like the first thing that they see. And then when you enter the treatment room now, we had all the square chairs, a square table, a big computer desk that was, you know, about like 4 feet tall and taking up a lot of that airspace. And then that big rectangular filing cabinet, which we have now switched to round plush, like almost like a faux suede chairs, 2 faux suede chairs, a round table with a little lamp on that table, providing some low light, and a smaller desk that is more of an L shape. So it opens up the entrance and exit to the desk. And then we moved the filing cabinet to the far wall. So it's now you're seeing just the side of it instead of the front of it.
Right.
And
right.
And then on that back wall now we have floating shelves for supplements. So we're also making more revenues that way by showing your stock.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to unpack that a little bit for you listeners who are going, what does it mean, squares and circular or curves? So most of us have too many squares or rectilinear shapes in our homes and in our office, in your offices. So what that means by rectilinear shapes is anything, you know, the room itself, the shape of the doors, the trim around the doors, your desk, your chairs, you know, your side tables. I mean, it's square on square on square on square, which is really, really out of balance, and it doesn't feel good, especially to women. So they've done studies, and women and men too, but mostly women respond better to rooms that have more curves in them. And so if you study Eastern medicine, it's the concept of yin and yang. It's the balance between the feminine and the masculine. And that balance creates that really great vibe in the space. And marketers know this, like there are clothing stores and restaurants that, you know, are our favorites and we kind of don't know why, but we love them. We feel good in them. We always want to return to them. And I bet it has a lot to do, I would bet money, a high money on it, that the squares and the curved shapes are more balanced out. So let's do a little experiment. Just take 5 seconds to look around you right now and count how many rectilinear, square, rectangular pieces of in your room do you see right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then after you've kind of taken that in, take a look around and see how many curves you see and see, and then you start to go, oh my gosh. So
yeah,
I have done case studies with over the years with my clients that come back and tell me that they will change a coffee table from square to round. And they have people commenting on the room, like she did some big change.
Yeah.
And it's because, and I get that over and over again, it's because those shapes really nurture the brain and the nervous system in a totally different way.
Yes.
So that is a really super easy thing for you to do. Just integrate some curves into your various room, through side tables, like you were talking about, shapes and artwork. The actual products themselves have round, you know, they're round bottles. And anything you can think of, really. So that's a really good takeaway for today.
And I wanted to touch on one more thing in the waiting room, which I thought was just an amazing thing, which I still get people commenting on. And it was creating an image that we found online, like a can stock photo or a stock photo. And it had to have some form of like foliage or something like that, very nature inspired. And I showed you, I think, 5 different images of like maybe some with mountains, some with a forest, some with like a creek or something like that. And you picked out the one that I see patients getting lost in to this very day. It cost me $100 to get this printed out on a 3x4 canvas, which is nothing. Mm-hmm. And it has a bench in it.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's looking into a wooded trail and there's a bench right in the kind of like just off center in that image.
And I have some patients, natural light, right?
Yeah. And natural lighting. Light. And we were going between just a forest or one with a bench. And you said, choose the one with the bench. And as I said, patients just stare at that image and they comment on it to this day. And you said it's because they can see themselves sitting there. And I just thought that was such an amazing tip for anybody who's thinking about looking for images and things like that, that, you know, that subtle little difference made such a profound impact in people, again,
yeah,
feeling inspired and nurtured and calm. And it was all part of like the healing process. And they see that when they come out of the treatment rooms, which is cool.
That's so sweet, Andrea.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting. There's been more evidence about artwork, I think, than anything else. There's just so much evidence out there that says, you know, there's a field even called evidence-based art.
Oh, really?
That, yes. Evidence-based art is, it looks at the sort of evidence that shows how the brain responds to nature images and the dopamine, you know, that feel-good dopamine quality in the brain, those feel-good receptors. Mm-hmm. Well, they help us heal in the same way that being in nature does. Like, imagine your favorite, you know, vacation place, or is it the mountains or is it the beach? And, you know, everybody on the planet, it's just being human. We all love nature, we cherish it, especially these days when life is so stressful.
Yes.
So you can imagine if your patients come in and they get to see a large print like 30x40 and they get to immerse themselves in it. So there are certain things that trigger and even heighten this feeling, like certain natural light settings in a forest. And yes, things like benches where people can just get lost for a moment, you know, they're not thinking about, you know, their pain when they're waiting there, or they're not worrying about picking up their kids or whatever stressful thing about their business is going on or their jobs or their marriages. And Andrea, I helped you get that. You know, you can get these all the way from $100 to all the way through, you know, thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. It depends on. So what you got was printed on canvas. And you can also get them printed on like a thick foam, which is called gaiterboard. And that doesn't last as long as something like an aluminum, like a metal backing, which you can clean. You know, you can spray harsh chemicals on that, and that'll last you for, you know, 30 years, mm-hmm. 40 years, you know. So what you did is, you know, we looked together online. There are some sites that offer free art, and it's high resolution, and you can use those. And this is on a DIY budget. And then for those of you who want to spend some more money and really, you know, work with an artist who specializes in this, so every single photograph that he has ever made is based on, is thought about for patients, for mm-hmm. people in a healthcare setting. Mm-hmm. And that's Peter C. Blanchard. He's this guy I work with. He's my friend. I'm happy to call him my friend. And so he has these really immersive, like, it's even richer, you know, even more. So you get the range depending on your budget and depending on what you want to invest. Mm-hmm. And so there are lots of things to do in that. You can also do, one of the things that I talked about was familiarity with the first impression. That goes the same with seeing a familiar scene in nature. So for example, if you are a healthcare professional in Manhattan and you decorate your waiting room with 30 by 40 minimum prints of Central Park, beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, images of Central Park, then your patients and first-time guests and your returning guests are going to feel like they belong, because the brain is going to naturally associate that familiarity and go, oh my God, Central Park, these are my people. Mm-hmm. I love it here. And you just get this brief respite during your day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's don't overestimate and don't go too small, because those small prints get lost. And so I see that with a lot of estheticians, especially. I don't know why estheticians, they do these little tiny things all over the walls, and it looks like a million things on the walls, and yeah. It just feels chaotic. So it happens. We just don't, you guys don't know.
Right.
So if you're, I'm here, why would you know, right? So now you do.
And I would love to pivot into the treatment room now. And this is going to bring up the question that came to us between calls, and I thought I would ask you personally today. And so this is the question, I'll ask it verbatim here. So it says, I would like our new setup to have the treatment room set up so that patients are sitting across from the desk. But my business partner feels that that's cold. So what would be better? Would it be sticking with sitting side by side to your patient or across the desk? What looks better?
Well, my answer is it depends, and it depends on the kind of environment you're trying to create and the kind of energy you're trying to create. So I understand both perspectives. So this person's partner doesn't want to create space across the desk because he or she wants to partner with their patient. And so that is really important when you sit side by side to patient. You of this quality of I'm your partner, I'm your equal, we're in this together. And that's important, although there's a little caveat. You have to make sure that you take the right chair. So let's say there's two chairs next to each other and there's a round table in the middle, of course round. And you want to be in the power position, you the healthcare professional. What's the power position? Well, it's the chair where you have a view of the door. And you don't want to set up your, what I call it, an intake area or conversation area between physician or professional and mm-hmm. patient or client. You don't want to set it up with the door to the treatment room because that feels uncomfortable. You want to kind of tuck it in. So let's just say maybe walk in and to the left front corner, you have it there. Well, you want to set your chair up, the healthcare professional's chair, so that you're kitty corner to the door and you have a view of the door, and you want your patient to kind of be on the other side of you so that they can be in the receiving position. So there's a different physiological, psychological, energetic trigger when you sit in the power position, when you sit in what I call the receiving position. And that is when you're in the receiving position, you can kind of relax back. You feel confident that the person in front of you is an expert, you know, above their chair. They have strategically placed their certificates. So there's this association that the brain does with the person and the certificates. I think it's called Gestalt therapy or psychology. There is a technical term for it. It works. And so it's important. So that's the more traditional, that what I call a more traditional partnering, and it's also contemporary and kind of important, that I really advocate 95% of the time. Now there's 5% of the time when I like to recommend to my client that they place the desk where the person who asked the question wanted it to be. And that's when you're not getting a lot of respect from your peers, from your clients. Maybe they're not really following protocols and you're scratching your head going, what's going on here? You know, I'm doing everything right. And I have a situation where, you know, it's noticeable that a lot of my patients or clients they're not really buying the products. They're not really listening to the suggestions, the protocol, whatever it is. And then that may be that it could be a lot of different things. It could be that you need this desk set up because of the type of clientele that you have. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a physician and you're kind of young and you have an older demographic and they're like, who's this young physician? They don't know anything, you know, because they're so used to the older physician stereotype.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so they really don't take you seriously if you're young. They're like, who does this, you know, person think they are?
Who's this whippersnapper?
Who's this whippersnapper? You know, no, I'm. So what you do by having a desk and having yourself behind the desk, again, in the power position, don't want to be facing the wall, be looking, you want to be able to clear view of the door and, you know, kind of catty cornered, not in direct line with the door. And then you have a couple of seats across from your desk. And then you're perceived as more of a professional. The thing you have to worry about by doing that is you can be intimidating to your patients, and you can increase their fear and vulnerability a little bit if you're everybody can understand that. You know, imagine going to a lawyer's office and you're afraid and, you know, you're nervous already, and then they're sitting behind this big, huge executive desk and you're like, you kind of feel small. And so it really depends. It's a good question to ask yourself is, do I want to partner up with my patients? Do I need, is it preferable if I have this desk here because there's some type of situation that requires it, like what I was talking about, like elevating the respect and the protocol, following the protocols you're offering? Or is it better that, you know, I'm partnering with them? So I think you can integrate it. And this is how I help my clients, is I'll look at the space and I'll say, okay, well, like I did with you, Andrea, I want you to be in position, but still partnering up and then strategically placing your certificates. And one thing I notice a lot is that some healthcare professionals have their confidence issues come up and imposter syndrome. And some of you guys don't want to put up your certificates because you feel like that's maybe in your ego or it's too cold. And it's actually a really good thing that you do that, because psychology tells us that people really respond better to know that you're an expert. And by showing that, you're sort of sitting in your power and empowering yourself. And so I really encourage you to pull those out if you haven't already. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah. And it brought to light, even as you're going through it, of course, I'm reflecting on where I was when I first started. And when I was an associate, I purposely set up the desk so it was between me and the patient. And I'm now reflecting on that and saying, intuitively, did I do that because I felt so new and needed to create more of that space? And now I can't even imagine there being a table between me and my patients. Oh, and we always sit kind of side by side, or at least have a very small kind of floating table between us. So I think I'm just reflecting on it 6 years now and seeing even how psychologically I've changed the dynamic of my space. So while we are in the treatment room, we've talked about where the certificates and diplomas and everything else should be, which I think is such a massive piece that I wouldn't have even thought about. But how about things like bookshelves? Now, in most treatment rooms, we have a filing cabinet with maybe some handouts that we want to give out and bookshelves with some textbooks and other resources that we use. Where do you recommend placement of those items?
Okay, well, there's two places. One is in general, and again, it's specific. Every room is different. It depends on where the door is and all the different arrangements of the room and what kind of healthcare, what kind of needs you have. But in, so I'm just speaking in general. When you walk into the door, it should be, you know, a very shallow bookshelf, not a deep one. So maybe, you know, maximum 15, 16 inches deep. Mm-hmm. Should be right there. You know, let's say the door is on the right. So the waiting room, you walk in and then there's some space and then the bookshelf is to the right. And then on top of the bookshelf or even a table of some sort, it could be a buffet, it could be a console, it could be a bookshelf. Maybe on the wall you want to put a mirror. It's really, people like in the treatment room to look at themselves before they leave. And doing that above that table or bookshelf is a really strategic place for it because it's right before they leave, right by the door. And then on top of the bookshelf, you can put some flowers or you can create a first impression like we were talking about before in the waiting room. And you mentioned in the treatment room, we also don't want to forget about the creating a first impression there. Mm-hmm. So you can easily do that by placing a really pretty plant, a water feature, it with like a little tabletop water fountain, or some flowers. And that's a really, that's in general, you know, I'd say 75% of the time where I would recommend placing it. Now, the bookshelf behind your desk, like if you're in a really, if you're in a bad situation where you're getting a lot of disrespect, if you put two tall bookshelves behind you, behind your desk, they're like bodyguards. So they command a lot of respect. And so I have this client in San Antonio, Texas, and she has a wellness clinic and she's an acupuncturist. And we did this situation outside of her door. She had a problem where, you know, her door, she was on the second or third floor and off the elevator, you know, she was like right across from the elevator. And there was kind of a bathroom in the hallway, right, that, that the offices shared. And so she complained to me how several times a day, you know, just random people would come in from other offices and patients of other offices, and they would ask for the key to the bathroom. And it was driving her nuts. It was driving her and her, her receptionist kind of nuts.
Yeah.
So I told her to place two lady palm trees, one on each side of the door, and those are very tall plants. And those really are kind of like the bouncers, like the bodyguards, right? Immediately it stopped.
Wow.
Like I heard back from her immediately. Nobody does that now. And so you've created a situation where no, hey, you need to respect me. So back to the treatment room, in a really strong case of, you know, disrespect, I might recommend someone do that, a client do that for just a brief time. And so a lot of these things can change. Like, you know, when you first started out, you had the desk and things like that. So that's basically where I would put the bookshelf, you know, right towards the door there, whatever table you have. Also, it's generally across from the intake area. And so you can reach over strategically and go, hey, here's this thing. And it all makes sense. And it's very organized and good flow.
Now, if there's anything else that you can think of about the treatment room, I'd love to hear what you've seen some of your clients do with regards to this is how they had it before and after. But the other one that's coming up to me right now, and this is more talking about the energetic flow of the room, is electronics. So a lot of practitioners now are having computers and laptops set up in their office, as do I, and I move my laptop kind of all over the room. But if you have, let's say, a desktop computer, is there a strategic place for that? Thinking about energy flow of the computer, energy flow of the exchange that you're having with your patients, anything you can touch on there?
Sure. Well, from perspective, it creates EMFs and it disrupts disrupts the environment. It's not good for our physical body. And so I first would always recommend that you get one of those safeguard plugins for your EMFs. It basically puts a field around your room and, you know, for I don't know, 1,000 square feet, I think. And so it just feels a lot better in there. You're sensitive, your more sensitive patients are going to feel the buzzing. You know, if you give acupuncture or chiropractic treatments and anywhere where you have people lay on the table and mm-hmm. resting there, and you want them to heal during that time, that those EMFs and those disruptions are going to play a role in working against you. So you definitely want to do that. You want to, if you have a desk, you want to have a skirt on the desk, which you can create with canvas or really pretty fabrics. You know, so you hide the cords. I think visually cords are not fun, not aesthetically pleasing. Mm-hmm. They kind of feel very chaotic and all that yes. stuff. So what else? If you don't have a desk, I recommend that you, you know, just have your, some people either have an arm on the wall and it attaches to a laptop or some kind of a computer.
Yes.
And that you can kind of move away when you're giving your treatment. And so just be very, very aware of that and try to be minimalist in your setup as much as possible, which is really nice. So you could have a credenza behind you if you have enough room, which is like a buffet, but for desks mm-hmm. for office settings. And you can put, you know, put stuff in there. So clearing your clutter is really, that sort of follows in line with that.
Yes.
Is clearing clutter. But that's what I recommend for your electronics. That's quite important. Another really cool thing that I see happening that's trending also with millennials and with boomers, we're getting really, really picky now, which is why this type of design is so important, because people are now spending their money on out of pocket for healthcare professionals that
yes.
they love. And this cash-based business is really growing. And I think at least 30 to 40% of people in the United States are spending money out of healthcare services, healthcare and wellness
yes.
services. It's more with beauty business. I mean, it's crazy. So you really want to, so one of the really fun things I've been seeing is that you want to have kind of a doc system. People like to bring in their own playlists, you know, especially when you leave them alone in the treatment room mm-hmm. for a while. And so if you have like a docking, like a wireless docking, mm-hmm. then people actually expect this. A lot of people do. And when you have it, it's a high value piece you can offer for not a big investment. So bring your one from home or buy one, invest in it, and let people dock. I mean, there are different docking stations, but if you just have a cord, you know, that you can plug in most iPhones, you mm-hmm. know, all that stuff. And then people can play their own music while they're in their own playlists.
Yeah.
And that's a good marketing piece too, that you can use in your newsletters.
It's yeah, like sure.
How, you know, you're offering this piece. So whatever you can do to make the experience more nurturing, more relaxing, and not so kind of cold and industrial. So maybe stay away from those posters that show the body parts and yeah. anatomy. And
just, yeah, yeah.
As much as possible.
Yeah. Now you are working on your third book, and I would love for you to share it with everybody. And when you have your books all completed, which perhaps by the time we're listening to this, I will definitely put all three. I'll put the two that you have completed in the show notes. When the third one is done, we can do that as well. But I'd love to hear about what this third book is going to be about.
This third book is called The Color Cure 2.0, and it's the healthcare professional's guide to, you know, to creating an oasis through selecting the perfect paints. And so I've added 100 pages to this book, and I've rewritten much the whole thing. And I'm really focusing on details on, okay, not only what colors to paint your walls, what colors to paint your ceilings, mm-hmm. when you have a patient or client who's laying on the treatment room table and you have no idea how beneficial, I'm here to tell you, because I've been, one of my signatures is recommending that ceilings be painted, even when you have those, like those soundproof tiles mm-hmm. on the ceiling that a lot of offices, you can paint those. And I have a lot of clients that do paint them with the permission of their, you know, office manager mm-hmm. or the office owner, clinic owner. And then I focus on palettes and how to choose the best color palettes with certain rugs or carpeting or flooring that you have. What colors to choose for your trim, for your interior doors, for your window trim, for your wainscoting, for your chair rails. you know, answering, I've basically been listening, especially over the past year. It's been about a year and a half, almost 2 years since I came out with the first Color Cure book. And I've been listening to what people want and also putting together a sample book that people can order just from me. So one of the problems I've seen is that people in other countries can't find Benjamin Moore paints. Mm. And so I am offering for, you know, $35, you can buy my samples kit, which has samples of all the colors that I talk about and I recommend in the book. And I have also, there'll be a bundle of things. So you can buy the book only, and then you can buy a bunch of different things like the Perfect Grays. And I'm offering 21 different color palettes. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just goes more into detail to help you more and to answer some of the questions and solve some of the problems that I've heard about from you, you know, over the past couple of years. So you can go to my website at any time. For right now, I'd love to offer you a free email course on your, it's a free 5-day email course. It's very easy. It's on certain things to do for your waiting room. Mm-hmm. And it's like these three specific design things to do. I think one has to do with lighting, one has to do with color, and there's another one. And you can just go to my website, easily sign up for that. It's free. Just enter your email and you'll start getting one email a day. And it's got some great information in there that can really help you. And
awesome.
You can get that simply on my website, CherylJanisDesigns.com. And that's Cheryl with a C. So, but I know, Andrea, you'll put it in the show notes.
Sure.
So.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on again and elaborating on what we talked about in the previous episode, which is episode 55. And I really do hope that people reach out to you. I mean, as I said, you're in the States, I'm in Canada. We did this all in 2 hours. And within a couple of months, I had a brand new space and it didn't cost me tens of thousands of dollars.
No. And I've actually come out with 3 new design services to help you no matter where you live. So just because you live in Canada or just because you live in Australia or wherever you live, I can help you. There's a 5-week engagement that I offer, DIYing it. There's an hourly, you can hire me on an hourly basis. And then I build you a virtual waiting room, a custom waiting room that is just, you know, through my CAD program. It's very artistic and very beautiful. So don't feel like if you don't live in the Northern California Bay Area that you can't get for your office, because I'm here to help. And thank you, Andrea, for having me on again. I just adore you. I'm thrilled for your changes and I love your show.
Thank you so much.
Well, there you guys have it. Another phenomenal episode on the books. And I cannot overemphasize how wonderful this lady is. She just gets it. She goes right to work. There's no fussing around. You use that time with her to buy your paint, to buy your furniture. She will stay within your budget. I definitely went outside of what I thought it would be, but not, you know, crazy. So I think I ended up paying, or it overall cost me about $3,500 to redo completely all the furniture in the waiting room with new tables and the paint and everything else. So really, in the grand scheme of things, that's really not that much. But definitely reach out to her. Now, in this sort of instance, I would love to give you extra guidance and inspiration on how to do this, but this is just not my wheelhouse, guys, when it comes to designs and stuff like that. That is so not me. So I can't help you in that realm. Definitely reach out to Cheryl. But if you know that the way your clinic looks is only just one piece of the reason why you are not achieving what you want to achieve in your business, that's why you'd reach out to me. And I invite you to do so. Go to maximizebusiness.ca. You can book a strategy call there. you know, send me a direct message on Instagram at Andrea Maxim ND. Email me info@themaximmovement. I am 100% here for you guys. And I want to hear your feedback anyway, even if it isn't something that you want me to help you with directly. If you have a comment about a show, if something has really impacted you in your business that you want to hear more about, if there's a topic that I haven't covered, let me know. Reach out to me. I want to hear from you guys and I want to be there for you guys as much as I can. So just hit me up and we'll try to find a way to give you everything that you could possibly need this year to maximize your business. I'm Andrea Maxim and I'm out. You guys are killer. Thank you as always for listening to the Profitable Practice Podcast. Leave me a comment and if you haven't already, I would love a review in iTunes. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and leave me a quick review. For those ready to maximize your practice, contact me at www.maximizedbusiness.ca.